We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we'll be discussing streaming and content creators. Just as a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice, as all the information is for educational purposes only. This week's guest is Melissa, known as Nufo. Nufo is a veteran streamer and content creator who has worked with some of the industry's largest brands and companies. Thanks for joining us.
Of course, I'm super excited to be here.
Amazing. So let's start. Tell us a little about your past gaming and esports experience. What was the first game you played?
The first game I would say I played, or rather the first game that I really got into, was probably RuneScape. I started playing RuneScape in like literally 2005 when I was about 8 years old. And I'd say that's probably the first game, like the first, like, not real game, but I played a lot of games like here and there, but it was like games that really, it was the first game that really stuck. I actually still play RuneScape on the same account today.
So how'd you kind of get first involved in the esports space?
Around like 2013, I came across like the competitive Call of Duty, like Twitter, like around there, like the people, the players, stuff like that. And that's basically how I got involved in like the esports scene. I started following a lot of the organizations like FaZe, you know, like the basic ones that everybody knows about. And I didn't even know that there was a whole like community around competitive gaming. I had literally no idea. Like, I was always a gamer, but I just didn't even know that.
So how'd you kind of start, you know, getting into the streaming and content creation?
Well, back in 2016, I was in college. It was my freshman year. And I had just graduated high school and was about to start my freshman semester of college. And I just remember working at Adidas for like 3 years at the time and being like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I was already like into the esports scene for a couple of years, and I had already gotten like a bit of a following, and everybody was like encouraging me to stream. And I was like, well, I already am playing video games and I don't like my job, so why don't I just like start streaming and doing that? And that's exactly what I did. I literally did my first stream and then quit my job the next shift. I was like, okay guys, I'm putting my 2 weeks in.
So when did you kind of like, you know, really take it seriously? Any kind of moments that stand out when you're like, wow, like this is now like my full-time job?
Well, after I quit my job, I was like, I need to make this work. Like, I was a college student, I had to afford books. My dad did not really pay for anything for me when it came to like school and stuff. And also I had like a car, so I had a car payment, insurance. So I was like, I need to make this work. So I just played a lot of Call of Duty to begin. And then I kind of just like started trying a lot of different things. And I just like enjoyed it a lot more than anything else that I was doing. I met so many great people through it. So it was just something exciting.
Amazing. So what's like your typical day as a streamer?
My typical day as a streamer. So I basically just like wake up, sit outside, feel the sun, make a quick little breakfast. And then around like 10:30-ish, I sit down at my desk and I start doing my makeup, cleaning up my desk a little bit. And then I stream. Lately, I've been playing Helldivers 2. That's been my main game recently. Loving that. And I'll stream for, I usually stream around 4.5 to like 6.5 hours, 7 hours. So at around like 4:30-ish, I'll get off and then I'll go to the gym, work out a little bit, make some dinner and hang out.
So it's so what is it like kind of doing these like long-term grinds, playing for, you know, 5-6 hours, right? Like this is, especially playing the same game sometimes.
Oh yeah, it can be a lot. It definitely, there's days where I feel super exhausted afterwards, where I'm just like, you know, people don't really understand how exhausting it is to stream. And it feels like kind of like such a weird thing to say, because people are like, you're just playing video games, but you're like, interacting and talking. Like, imagine talking for literally 8 hours. Like, it is exhausting. You're comprehending what people are saying. You're like balancing multiple things at a time because you're like playing a game.
At a high level.
Yeah, you're gaming. You're reading the chat. You're like thinking of responses. You're like making plays in the game. Like, sometimes it can be exhausting and a lot, but it really depends on the game that I'm playing. Because if I'm recently, I haven't been playing very competitive games. I just feel like they trigger me and I'm just like, I can't play this game for longer than an hour. So lately I've been playing just like more relaxed games or like just like fun, like story mode games sort of. And I feel like that really kills the time because I'm like, wow, like it's already been 4 hours. I didn't even realize. And it goes by very quick, which I prefer.
Amazing. So you've previously worked with some esports organizations, including Gen G and Xset. So what was like first being signed to an organization? Like, you know, kind of really having that, you know, team behind you.
But it was honestly great. And I feel like a lot of these organizations like it's really nice when these organizations make you feel like a family, like when they include you in gaming nights or they fly everybody out and you guys like have dinners together and you really get to know each other. And I feel like Gen G specifically was one of those organizations that made you feel like super included. They brought us out for content stuff, which was really, really nice. They always sent us like a lot of cool gear and it was really, really great being a part of that organization for sure. And I think that once I got like signed to an organization, and that was one of those, that goes back to that other question of when I started to take it more seriously. It was once I got signed and I was like making a salary, I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm like the real deal. Like I'm getting a salary. And I was also in college still at the time. And I was like, this is so crazy. Like I'm sleeping and I'm making money. I just remember that being like such a weird thing for me going from like streaming being my only like line of income to then like making a salary plus what I make from streaming as well. I was like, whoa, this is just so much.
Maybe, yeah. So any moments stand out from you, you know, from your experience with Gen G?
Yeah, honestly, one of the things that I think about the most when it comes to Gen G is probably our first like time that they flew us out for content. It was like me and a bunch of the other girl content creators that they had signed. And we did like headshots and we did interviews because they were like so big on female content creators. We did, it was around like Mother's Day or something like that. I forget. And they like flew us all out and we did stuff about like who we thought was like the most important woman in our life. And it was just really nice being around like a group of women that had like-minded like stuff. And they were just talking, we were just able to communicate and talk about the same things and like kind of bring each other up. It was really nice. And we went out for a Korean barbecue. It was so sweet. We got to tour the offices. It was great.
Gen G definitely is one of those, you know, really high-powered organizations that has really kind of got their stuff down. So, Disney, you had worked with Xset, and we know they're kind of known for kind of being on this entertainment, fashion, gaming. So how do you see fashion and, you know, gaming and esports working together?
It's definitely a very interesting combination, I would say, fashion and gaming, because I almost feel like the only option for, like, fashion and gaming is very, like, anime streetwear sort of vibe. And I definitely feel like Xset was getting involved with like the whole streetwear, which was really nice because I love streetwear. I like the vibe of it. I like the black with like the little distressed look and like the symbols and everything. I think it looks really great. Big like musicians and athletes that were very in on like the fashion at the time. So I feel like it was a really good move on them to incorporate those things into the organization.
Yeah, I was kind of find that you have these kind of like areas of culture like music and sports and fashion, and you know, people that like music, you know, they have usually have a fashion angle, or like, you know, there's like a lot of overlap. So it's nice when you start to see that trend of organizations. And obviously we know 100 Thieves did a really collaboration with Gucci, and you know, Ralph Lauren and G2. So there's been a lot of these unique high fashion collaborations, so it's nice to see how it just continues to develop. So you've obviously been in the space for a long time, and including attending some of the early MLG events. So what was like kind of attending those events and kind of seeing where esports has kind of grown to? Like, did you see it coming? Like, did you have a crystal ball?
My gosh, thinking back to like the old Call of Duty events that I used to go to in like 2016, 2017, stuff like that. I miss those. I miss that time of my life. I miss like post graduating high school, this like feeling of such like freedom. And going to these, like, I was 18, so being able to just travel on my own and go to these places and meet these people that I met through streaming and, like, the internet was just, like, such a crazy experience to, like, it was just wild. And meeting like the people behind the scenes, like the people that worked at G Fuel and all these like booth scuff, like all these companies that I like saw online and was like, oh my God, these are so cool. And then getting to meet those people, see the products in person. And I just remember Call of Duty events like MLG and CWL, like UMG even, just being such an experience. You get to meet all these people and watching the events, there was just so much energy when you would walk in. And I just remember being so excited, being like, what's the venue going to look like? Like, what is the setup going to be? What like booths are there going to be? Like, there was just so much to it. And I really missed that time. But it was just so crazy because every event was like bigger than the last. And I miss those times. And I really feel like these league matches that they do now are just not it. CDL, I'm sorry, I love you, but CWL all the way.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that have that same sentiment. So did you kind of see it growing to where, you know, at Madison Square Garden, the Staples Center, these like legendary stadiums, like where you have thousands of people there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, every event like was bigger than the last, and there was more people there. There were more companies getting involved. And, you know, I really feel like esports, like Fortnite, for example, is something that like really made the gaming and esports scene like really blow up. So, and I feel like since then, like specifically around COVID, there was so many musicians and like athletes and sports teams even, and like food companies, and just everybody was trying to get involved in the esports scene. And I feel like it has taken off so much. So I definitely didn't see it growing as rapidly as it did. I was like, because I like started going to events in 2016, and literally like 2 years later, they were like massive. So I didn't think it was going to grow that fast, but I'm happy that it did. And I'm happy that I was able to be like kind of on the, like the forefront of it.
You were a trendsetter. I mean, those early years, you were there for a lot of people, you know, so it's probably interesting. So tell us a little about working with, you know, some of the brands you've worked with, and, you know, how do you kind of decide which ones you work with and how that?
So when it comes to the brands that I work with, I try to work with brands that I honestly like use in my day to day. Like I definitely try to be a very like open person. Like that's one thing that my community like knows me for. I'm a very open book, and I tell things kind of like how they are when it comes to like products and my opinion on things. So even like companies that I currently work with, if I don't like something about it, like I tell my community, cause I'm like, I'm not gonna like lead you guys on. So like, for example, when I worked with Ghost, there was flavors of the food that I didn't like. There was flavors of things that I didn't like. And I was like, I don't like that one. And I would tell people, I'm like, I'm not going to like pretend like everything is just great. And I feel like people like that authenticity from you, and they like trust that more. They're like, okay, like that makes you seem like a more authentic person that's not just trying to like make money and everything. So I feel like it just really helps my community feel trusting in me.
I think that's an important, you know, point that everyone out there needs to take, you know, heed of. It's like, you need to be authentic. Like, yeah, you're not gonna like every single thing, but someone else might like it. But as long as like, oh, I may not like this flavor, but I love this one, it's like, you know, that's, everyone has their own personal preference. And I think, like you said, communities and fans really kind of feel confident in your recommendation, that you're not just, oh, I love every flavor, I love everything they do. Like, people know that's not the reality.
Yeah. And I would much rather just like I'd pass up an opportunity to work with a company if it's not something that I believe in, something that I would use. Like, there's no point in it. And I don't want to. It's all about like, really what you're doing at the end of the day is selling a product. And if you're just going to lie to the consumer, you're less likely to make sales in the future anyway. So I would much rather just be honest about my opinion of things, if I like them, if I don't, and choose these brands like very intentionally.
So what tips do you have for, you know, streamers and content creators that are working with brands? You know, maybe they got a first opportunity, you know, what would you advise them?
That's a good question. I would just say the same thing. Like, I definitely think authenticity is like one of the most important things about working with brands. Cause like I said, it makes your community, your following, trust you and trust what you're selling or bringing to the table. And I also feel like just be careful with the brands that you're working with, because at the end of the day, they're trying to make money, and really what you are to them is just marketing. So if you're not going to, I guess, succumb to their like deal or whatever, like that's okay. There's going to be more deals along the line, like later on, you'll get there.
Right. I think that's great advice. Sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't take. You know, you don't just want to take every deal, because not every deal, even though you're making money, is the right deal.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like a lot of people just jump on the first thing that they get, and the first thing that they get might not always be the best thing that they could possibly get. And again, it's like you have to also be, not only do you have to be authentic to your community, but you have to be authentic to yourself. And is this a product that I really want to have my name? Because really what you're doing as a creator is creating a brand. Like you are a brand. And the companies that you work with are a reflection of your brand. And if you're like, think of the big creators that work with brands and the brands go down and people are like, what is your, where are you, where's your statement? Why aren't you saying anything about this company that you were working with? And then it's like putting you in a weird position because you didn't, one, do your research, you worked with a shady company, and it just makes you look like not a great creator, not a
Yeah,
great
you're just
person
kind of
to
taking
trust.
money and you don't care about anything
Yeah.
else.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously you've mentioned you've been in the industry for a long time and you've clearly encountered working with different professionals, including, attorneys and managers and agents. So what kind of advice do you have for talent dealing with these kind of representatives? What have you learned from some of your previous experience?
I honestly, I really would say to not just jump right in because really read your contracts too. There's a lot that goes in into those. Definitely have other people read them,
Get a
proofread them.
lawyer.
Yeah,
That's my
hire a
unbiased
lawyer.
but biased opinion. Get a lawyer.
Yeah, definitely hire a lawyer. Have like somebody that has some sort of idea of legal jargon, look it over. Have five people look it over, but just be careful because that is a legally binding contract and it can get you in some deep trouble if you get effed over. So,
Or it could be very expensive to get out of those situations.
yeah, it could be a whole big thing. So, definitely be careful when it comes to those things. But I would also say, too, like, don't be afraid of just not working with anybody. It's okay to represent yourself. It's scary and it's intimidating. And you're gonna have to really like fight for yourself. You have to like be the one negotiating, be the one like reaching out to brands and companies and doing stuff like that. And it's intimidating putting yourself out there and kind of like looking maybe needy or like feeling like, oh no, like if like I don't want to like look desperate to these companies or something like that. But I feel like a lot of opportunities come when you go get them. That's really like the way that it is. So I definitely would say don't be afraid to just not work with anybody and to just be your own representative. But also, if you are going that way, to definitely be careful of who you pick, do your research, look over your contract with a freaking micro, what is that?
No.
What is
Yes.
that? Magnifying
Microscope,
glass.
magnifying glass. We can use either one. Magnifying glass, microscope, both will do the trick.
Yeah, literally fine toothpick, whatever.
Yes, I agree. I echo all those things. I think that's one of the biggest things is, you get to a point where you need help, but you also, as long as you have the right people advising and you can do what's necessary, you have the opportunities there. So shifting gears a little bit, it's widely publicized some of the toxicity and harassment that women involving in gaming and kind of streaming and even just hopping on the mic. I'm sure you've have some stories. So what kind of you experience and how do you kind of deal with some of this? I know it's tough. I've had female creators kind of come to me on the side and some of the stuff that people say is horrific. And I always just say, I'm like, they would never ever say that to you in person. They would be, can I have a picture with you? I love you so much. I love you so much. But behind a computer, behind a keyboard, like, I don't know, something else
I
happens.
have so much to say about this topic, honestly. I feel like to start, I feel like being a woman in gaming, you obviously are the minority. Like most gamers are guys. But I definitely feel like within the last couple of years, like there's been a lot more women
But
getting
the
into
stats say
it.
otherwise, right? The
Yeah.
Entertainment Software Association says it's kind of near 50-50.
Yeah.
I don't know where those stats are coming from.
I
None of
definitely,
the girls I meet really are gamers that I grew
yeah.
up with, so I
Trust me, I
don't
have no like female gamer friends. I'm always like, hey, who wants to play? And there's literally
know.
crickets. But I definitely feel like for example, when I came up with the name Nufo, literally just came up with it one day. Part of the reason why I picked it was because it was very unisex. Like you wouldn't know if I was a girl, you wouldn't know if I was a guy. And that was one of the things that I was feeling very passionate about. I was like, I don't want somebody to think that I'm bad at a game because I'm a girl. And actually, Jess Brohard brought this comic up once when I was like speaking in a panel with her, and she was talking. It was the comic was basically somebody. I can't. It's like somebody doing math and getting the equation wrong or something. And it was like a woman, and she was doing this math on this chalkboard or something like that. And the person was like, "Girls suck at math," because it was just like a girl. And then there was somebody, something else where it was like a guy doing math on a chalkboard and he got it wrong. And it was just like, you suck at math. Like, you're just bad at math. And it's like, now because I'm a woman, it's girls suck at math. But it's not just like I just didn't know it. Like, it's just something like that. It's like where you get blamed that you're like inadequate. Or you have a bad game on the fact that you're a woman. And I didn't want people to kind of have that impression. But now people just know me in games. They're like, oh, I know you. And so I'm like, well, there's no hiding now. But I definitely think that women get a lot of hate in gaming, especially now with like the whole OnlyFans thing. I definitely think that that's created like this bad stigma around like women in gaming specifically, where people are like, oh, like, where's your OnlyFans? Like, stuff like that. I get messages constantly where people are like, when are you going to make one? I'm like, why is it just like normal for you to expect like a woman in gaming to just like be showing her body like that?
Why is
like,
it even normal to message someone that they've never even talked to that?
People, I get messages constantly where people are like, are you ever going to make one? You should make one. And like, people comment on my pictures. They're like, OnlyFans incoming, because it's like, sometimes I'll post like a little bit of like a revealing photo, but like, whatever, like I can do that. And then people are like, oh, she's teasing her OnlyFans, she's making one. And I'm just like, this is so weird. But yeah, I've gotten a lot of like crap talking online from a lot of people. And honestly, I've been to a lot of events too. So it goes back to what you said about how nobody has ever said anything bad to me in person, ever, at any of these events. I've been to dozens of events with thousands and thousands of people there, and literally nobody has ever said anything bad to me. Like, there's people that will be like online and they're like, you're ugly, you're like, you're dumb, you're not good at video games, like whatever it is. And then the second I see, these are the same people that literally come out to me asking for photos. Yeah. Like, just like you said.
That's why I find it so funny. Like, I've had these big rappers that like, he would look at his phone and like see all the people talking, you know, smack about him on Twitter and get really upset. And I'm just like, bro, these kids would do anything to stand next to you.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I always see stuff like that where it's like, specifically like musicians, where there's people like commenting on their posts and they're just like, shut up, bitch, or like something like that. And then the person responds and they're like, oh my God, I didn't think you'd see this. I love you so much. And it's like, why would you say something like that to begin with, like just to get a reaction? And so that is like, for upcoming creators and stuff, I definitely would suggest to just not give people the reaction. I used to block people. I used to respond and like try to like banter with them or like talk back to them. But like now as an adult, I'm like, who cares? Like, this person's just sitting at home being a loser. Anybody that just like has to say something mean is unhappy in their life. Like, I'm pretty content, but I don't really go around like just wanting to shit talk somebody just because. Like, I'm just like, whatever, their life, I don't care. So, right. But yeah, definitely nobody ever says anything in person. There are literally keyboard warriors for life.
And I always say, don't feed the trolls. Like, again, you have clients that sometimes engage with it and that's all they want. All they want is to get that interaction, to get you riled up. And, you know, that response is that dopamine drop for them. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I got to her. Oh, whatever it is. And it's, you know, it's.
Yeah. Even just blocking. Then they post it on Twitter and all their little friends are like, ha 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 ha. Like the screenshot. And they're like, oh my God, she actually blocked me. And then that's like their like accomplishment. And it's just like, imagine like being like just that sad where you're proud of the fact that you made somebody else feel bad. I don't really understand.
You're just such a bully that like you would just bully some random girl you've never talked to and know literally nothing about other than. Her name's Melissa, right?
Like, yeah. And that's another thing too, is like a lot of these people will come into my stream like looking to like be mean to me, and then they'll hang out for a bit and they're like, wait, you're actually not that bad. I actually like you. I'm like, nice. I'm like, awesome, cool. I'm so glad I have a new person in my community.
Right. That's really started out as a bully and now they're my friend. But I guess that's what you have to do. You got to change one mind at a time. Yep. All you can do. So how do you think, you know, maybe the next generation, how do we curtail this? How do we fix this going forward? Because we know gaming and esports, it's only going to continue to be more pervasive. There's only going to be more young females getting involved, more younger kids and impressionable kids. How do we fix this?
I think exactly that. I think that just having more women join the scene and continue to prove themselves and get more involved is the exact way. Because I feel like there's professional leagues for women now, which weren't a thing when I started like joining the gaming scene and stuff like that. And I feel like now giving these women these opportunities to kind of prove themselves and show people like, one, we're here to stay, two, like we are actually good gamers and we provide like great content.
You kick my butt. Like, that's what I say. Like, the girls I work with, I represent some of these CSGO and Valorant players, and they would smoke me in all of these games. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are super talented, and it's crazy, but it's great to see, because again, like that was 2016 when I was like going to my first events and stuff. And even still, like, there were not very many like women's teams and stuff like that. And it's nice to see how in less than 10 years, there's a ton now, and women are being like represented a ton. And again, that's one of the things that I loved about Gen G, is they were like all about like encouraging women and building them up. And I just think that that's really important, especially nowadays. Like, I feel like everybody's just so hard on each other and has like these high expectations. And it's just like, just enjoy like who you are, just enjoy each other.
Definitely. I think that's kind of the trend now, as we're trying to kind of work on this exclusivity, inclusivity, and trying to balance this stuff. So what advice do you have for aspiring streamers and people that are trying to go down the route that you're on?
In terms of content creation, I definitely would say to just be yourself. I think that it already is exhausting to create content in general if you are being yourself, but then to add on top of like playing a character on top of that. And I understand that when you're a content creator, like, you're not obviously going to be 100% yourself, because it is a job, it is a brand. Like, you can't like make some jokes that you would make.
It's entertainment.
Like, it's truly entertainment. And I feel like, you know, try to be as authentic as you possibly can, because it's going to be a million times easier. People will respect you way more. Brands, like, people that you're going to be working with, stuff like that. I think that it's just important to be yourself. And in terms of like how much, like in terms of streaming, I definitely would say if you are working like a regular job, consistency is very important. But obviously, if you can't dedicate all of your time to it because you're not in the position yet, like, you're still working a regular job, you aren't really making any money from streaming, I would definitely suggest to make specific days like your streaming days. That way you have like a bit of a schedule. Because if it's like, if you stream every Wednesday and then it's a Wednesday and I'm sitting home and I'm like, I don't really have anything to do right now. And then I'll be like, oh my God, Jessica's streaming. And then I'll be like, wait, it's Wednesday. And I'll go tune in because I know you stream every Wednesday. But if it's just like you stream on Tuesday sometimes, and then Saturday when you feel like it, and then sometimes Thursday, it's like, I don't really know when you're going to be live. So I'm not really going to be thinking about your content. I'm going to be thinking about Jason, who streams every day. And I'm going to be like, oh, well, Jason's live, and not whatever her name is that I just said. So I definitely think that I think that some sort of consistency and like a schedule is a really important thing. And also, I would say to just like, networking is really important. It's important for everything, regardless if you're a streamer. It just is. Like, everything that you do in life, it's a little bit better if you know people, you get a little bit further. So I definitely think that networking with other creators, getting to know just like people behind the scenes, as well as people that work for companies that you would like to work for or work with in the future, is definitely important. Like, try to have good relationships with people, because I feel like there's a lot of people that go on Twitter and they're like shit posting, and they're just like being a jerk just to be a jerk, or like they're just like not being very professional. And it's like, then you expect to work with these companies later down the line, and it's like, these people are like, I don't want to work with you, because now this person that you just bullied 3 years ago now works at this company that you want to work with, and they're like, no, I hated you. No.
Right. I love the people that are like, oh, I hate this game. Oh, cold. Like, and it's like, these are your employers. Like, if you're bad mouthing Activision Blizzard, you think they're going to want to give you money and help you if like you're on your 100,000 plus followers saying how horrible the game is? And like,
yeah,
people don't realize that. And like, I'm just shocked that people don't connect the dots of like, oh, well, maybe you could respectfully be like, oh, like, the new feature is a little whatever. Not big, oh, this game is broken, I hate it, boo at Activision Blizzard. And, you know, they know. They know what's going on.
They're watching. There's definitely a way to get your point across without being so vulgar. And I think, again, these companies are going to be like, oh, okay, like, respectful. They said something, they told us their opinion, we'll take it, and we'll figure something out behind the scenes and we'll fix it. But
exactly,
not if you're going to be a jerk about it. And then now 100,000 people are like, this game sucks.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, well, thank you for helping our business. Let us think about how we're going to help your business.
Yeah, no thanks.
So what's your favorite part about, you know, being a streamer and a content creator?
I think I would say that my favorite part about being a streamer and content creator is just the versatility of it. Like, I feel like I can really just do whatever I feel like doing. Like, if I want to, there's times where I stream me building a diorama. Why? I don't know. I just feel like building a diorama. Like, I don't know. I just want to build this small mini house, okay? And people are like, cool. And I can take days off if I want. Like, obviously, I try to treat it as much of a job as possible. I stream most weekdays. That's like my schedule is every weekday. But there's some days where I'm just like, I'll wake up and I'm like, I can't do it today. I just don't want to. And people are like, take a day off. Like, you deserve it. And like, everybody's so nice and supportive about it. But so, yeah, I would definitely say that like being, it's a blessing and a curse being your own boss for sure, because you also have to be the one to be like, no, this is a job. You have to get up and go do stuff. Like, you can't just sit in bed all day and be lazy. So you definitely have to be your own motivator in that way. But yeah, I definitely would say it being versatile, because it's nice being able to just like IRL stream. If I want to like go to the beach, I could stream from there. I can go out to eat and stream. I can like create content, make a TikTok, make a vlog, like whatever I really feel like doing. And it's nice because like literally anything you do can be put into creation, like content creation. Like if I'm going out to dinner, I could just post a picture of my food and it's content. And it's like just very easy in that way. But at the same time, if you have like a specific vibe that you're going for with your content, it isn't as easy, because obviously if you don't post like, I guess, like the most professional grade content when you normally do, people are gonna be like, what is that? So there's definitely a lot that goes into it.
Right. I think that's one of the, you know, the unique things is kind of the flexibility to really be your own boss and, you know, kind of make your job on your terms. Like you said, like if you want to go to, you know, pumpkin picking on Saturday, now that's your vlog for the, you know, the week. So kind of bring us towards the end, you know, what does the future hold for you? You know, where are you kind of going from here?
Well, I feel like the last 3 years of my content creation journey has, I've taken a step back because I've been trying to, I'm in like these transitionary years of my life. Like I'm 26 now, and I feel like I'm trying to really just figure out what I want to do in my life, because obviously I don't think I'll be streaming forever. Like that doesn't really sound like a very realistic plan, but I've been trying to kind of incorporate these new hobbies that I kind of got throughout these last 3 years. Cause like I said, I took a step back. I started a new relationship. I moved 1,000 miles away. I got 2 dogs. I've been going outside and touching grass way more than I used to. Like I actually have hobbies that aren't gaming now. And I think that I've just been growing into like a new person. And so I've been trying to kind of incorporate that into my content. And it's been a little hard because obviously most of my community is gaming related, but I feel like my community also in a way has been growing with me. Like, I feel like a lot of them started off following me when they were 18, 19, 20, like stuff like that. And now we're all in our late 20s and early 30s. And we're all kind of like in the same spot where people are like starting families and things like that. So it's kind of nice that we're all growing together. But I think that my content, I'm trying to kind of incorporate more lifestyle stuff. I think I want to go more of like a, like, I definitely want to stream more often, like we'll continue streaming. But I do also want to start doing like more vlog, like content and stuff that isn't just gaming related, because I feel like I have more to me than gaming. Whereas when I first started streaming, I like gaming was my only hobby. That's all I did. So it was fine for me to just sit inside for 12 hours and stream Call of Duty. But now it's like I go to the gym, I have dogs, and we go on runs and we go on hikes and stuff like that. And I love camping and fishing and a bunch of different things that I want to incorporate into my content and stuff.
That's what I want to see, some new fishing content. I'm with it. I am with it. So yes, I kind of like to end each episode with my 3 questions. So what's your favorite game to watch?
Ooh, my favorite game to watch. That's a good question. I don't really watch very many games because I feel like I don't really spend very much time on Twitch unless I'm streaming. Like nobody goes into their job on their off days. So I'm trying to think. I think for games, I honestly really enjoy watching Apex. I feel like there's, because all the characters, they all have like their own unique thing. I find it really interesting. It's very fast paced, big maps, stuff like that. I really enjoy watching Apex.
So what's your favorite game to play?
RuneScape. Okay. For sure.
And who's your favorite video game character?
Probably Loba from Apex, because she's thick.
Okay, amazing. So this was so great. You know, thank you so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can connect with you and learn about what you're working on.
Of course. My socials are all Nufo. Well, my Instagram is mNufo. Wasn't able to get that one. But Twitter Nufo, Twitch Nufo, Kick Nufo, YouTube's Melissa Nufo. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, everyone go, you know, take her follow. Make sure to tune into her stream. She's really entertaining. I definitely enjoy it. So we're excited to see where you kind of go from here. And Everyone, thanks again for tuning in, and follow me on Twitter, JustinJESQ, and check Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube for all our past episodes.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.